You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. As always, if you enjoyed this show, subscribe to it on either iTunes or Spotify, and we will deliver the show to your device. Also, if you enjoy the show, give it a good review in iTunes. We certainly appreciate it. I mentioned this a couple days ago, but this will be the final show for this week. I'm heading out to San Diego tomorrow, so we're cutting things a little short, and we are kind of in the summer season where there's not as much news, so we're probably going to scale things back a bit from our normal five-day-a-week workload. I'm not saying we'll never do a show 5 days a week during the summer, but we're going to do things a little less. Now, we're still going to put together some good shows for you, but this will be the last show for the week. So with that in mind, since we're not doing a normal Thursday mailbag, I did seek out some mailbag questions from the comment section of GangreneNation.com yesterday. So we'll end this week with a mailbag. And I'll once again go to you with my own mailbag question since I am going to San Diego. What are things I should do in San Diego? If you have any thoughts, please feel free to let me know. I certainly would appreciate that. First question. Reports out of camp seem to consistently point out that your boy Hansen is playing really well. He missed camp last year, so it's believable that he could potentially be a good player this year. Add in that the Jets have reportedly have high hopes for Jordan Leggett, who missed all of last year. If both these guys end up being contributors in their second year, but first full years, do we have to change how we think about Maccagnan, especially after what on the surface looks like a good 2018 draft? Adams, May, Hansen, Leggett, and McGuire all in one draft could end up being a really good haul, and that is writing off Stewart. So I think ultimately the question is, do we change how we think about Mike Maccagnan? Well, I think first of all, and again, yeah, I am kind of high on Hansen, but we're only talking about a couple practices, a couple OTAs here, where he is reportedly looking good. And you have to remember that the reporters, the media, is not present at every single practice. So even if we get a report that the guy's doing well at practice, we can go beyond the fact it's just practice. We can go to the fact that we haven't seen every single practice. And there hasn't been somebody there at every practice to really tell us how well these guys are doing. It's a partial snapshot that we're getting. And it's also really through the lens of various reporters, how they're analyzing things. So I think, you know, these are things we'll have to keep in mind. That said, yeah, I do think Hansen has a shot to be a little bit better. I think Hansen has a shot to be a good player in this league. So, you know, that wouldn't shock me. And Leggett is a guy with, you know, he's got the physical tools to be a good tight end in this league. I think he was kind of an underachiever in college, but it's certainly possible he could put it all together. Now, if we're going to, and I'm assuming when you ask the question, change how we view Maccagnan, I presume that means that our current impression is not that good. I think if that's the case, if your impression of Maccagnan is not that good, to a certain extent, yeah, young guys playing well could change that. But what really needs to change is the Jets just need to win more games. I mean, I think the big issue right now with this regime is they've only won 10 games in the last 2 years, and I'm not saying that they should have been fired. I said that a number of times over the last 2 years, that I feel like at some point you just have to stick with your guns. You have to give guys a chance to grow, give guys a chance to succeed. The Jets fired their last GM after 2 years, and that's fine. I think that was probably the right move, and I said so at the time. You can't keep doing that, though, because if you keep doing that, it's a sign of one of two things. It's a sign that either you're hiring people who are so terrible that they have to be fired after 2 years, or you are just way, way too impatient. And neither of those is a recipe for success for your team. So I think at some point you have to stand by your decision. You hired these guys for a reason. You know, you can't constantly be firing people after 2-3 years. You do have to give them a chance. And, you know, people say, well, you have to admit to your mistakes. And I agree with that. You do have to admit to your mistakes. But if you are constantly making mistakes so egregious that you can't stand by them after 2 years, and we're not talking about one mistake here or there. Everybody makes mistakes. But if you are making mistakes that are egregious over and over. What are we even doing here? What's the point of this? So I'm not saying either Mike Maccagnan or Todd Bowles should have been fired after last year or 2016. But I do think there needs to be some improvement. So I think indirectly the answer to the question is yes. If Hanson and Leggett perform well, then yeah, it could help turn things around for Maccagnan. But from the standpoint that it's probably going to help the team be successful, because ultimately, it doesn't matter what happens with individual players, aside from maybe Sam Darnold. I mean, Darnold's a special case, but it's not really about individual players. It's about how's the team doing? Is the team winning more games? And to the extent that those guys can help the team win games, yeah, it would help. I think having one great draft class is not necessarily a game changer for a general manager in most cases. It depends on... And to the extent it is, it's just about how those players help teams win games. Next question. If both Bridgewater and Darnold play well, what are your thoughts on the wisdom of the Jets either trading McCown or encouraging him to retire? For the purpose of this question, assume that the Jets are willing to eat some of McCown's salary to make him appealing to other teams. How confident would you be to go into the season with just Darnold and Bridgewater? Well, if they both play well, then I'm pretty confident. I would do it. I don't think the Jets would. I think the Jets really like McCown. So I don't see them doing it. I like the idea, but I think the issue is the Jets really like McCown, and I'm not sure how much of a market there would be for him. You know, he's not a guy who's got a big-time track record in this league. He's always been a guy who's good enough to get a job, never a guy who's been good enough to keep a job. So I think that there are some hurdles there. I don't see it happening. I personally think it would be a decent idea, but I just don't see it happening. I don't think the Jets would want to do that. Next question. This is one I get a lot. I think I got one of these emailed last week that I missed. What are the odds that if Bridgewater continues to look good, that the Jets flip him a la Sam Bradford to some quarterback needy team at the beginning of the season for a pick or picks? I think very light. I would not be shocked at all to see that happen. If Bridgewater continues to play, in the early reports are he's moving pretty well. That the knee hasn't looked like an issue in terms of mobility. So, the reports on the injury seem encouraging at this point. I think if Bridgewater is healthy, the Jets. I would even go as far to say I think the Jets will try to trade Bridgewater if he continues to look healthy and if Darnold looks good. See, I think Darnold plays a little role in this too, because if Darnold looks like he's going to need a year to sit, maybe they hold on to Bridgewater. But I think the most likely scenario for me is that the Jets look to deal Bridgewater if he's looking good. I've said this on a number of occasions that I think Bridgewater was signed for a different contingency than what played out, and it was the Jets really did not pay a whole lot for Bridgewater, so it was worth it. I think he was a nice. This is an insurance policy. I always hear about insurance policies, and usually, in many cases, they're not for good players. And it's like, well, what kind of insurance is this? I think the term insurance policy gets thrown around far too liberally, but I think this actually was an insurance policy where you had a young guy with promise. You at least had a guy who gave you a shot if things did not pan out the way you wanted to in the draft. Now that things panned out exactly how the Jets wanted them to, Bridgewater's a little more expendable. So, yeah, I would expect them to make a trade. Now, they're not going to get a first-round pick for Bridgewater the way the Eagles got a first-round pick for Sam Bradford. So that's the only thing I'd say might be a little different, is I don't think Bridgewater's going to have the same value as Bradford. And, look, if I'm wrong, I'm very happy about that, because that certainly would be a great scenario for the Jets. I think even if he shows you that he's healthy, I think there's still going to be some trepidation until teams actually see him out there in the regular season. And so I think that we're probably looking at a lesser return, but I think, it's quite plausible for that. That's something that could happen. Next question. Any chance for a quarterback position by committee? For example, I'd love to see Teddy start the game against the Vikings, even if McCown is the regular starter. And even in a game that McCown starts, why not run Sam in there for some bootlegs against defenses that are not fast sideline to sideline? Seems to me it makes sense for the Jets to become a little harder for opposite teams to game plan if all three quarterbacks can play. I just had this is no offense to you, but that just gave me a really bad flashback to Tebow, because that was essentially the big argument for Tebow was how much more unpredictable it would make the Jets. I mean, you just need a quarterback who can go in there and play effectively from the pocket. I think you end up spending practice time undermining your starting quarterback when you do things that way. As the old expression, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have anybody. I think all of your practice time during the week should be dedicated to getting that week's starter ready to play. And I don't think it makes you more unpredictable. I mean, you can run bootlegs with McCown. McCown's pretty mobile. Even for a guy who was approaching 40, he's still pretty mobile, pretty athletic guy. So I don't know that I necessarily would say that it would make the Jets more unpredictable. And I'm not even sure the Jets would spend more practice time installing this stuff than defenses would lose trying to figure out how to defend it. Because I don't think at the quarterback position you're trying to deceive. I think what you're trying to do is you want a guy who can get in there and effectively throw the football. And I just go back 6 years to the Tebow experience and how ineffective that was. And, you run the risk of cutting out your quarterback's rhythm. I just think that there are many more drawbacks than there are positives to that. So I have to be honest, I don't love that idea. Next question. Assume that Darnold is not the Jets starter week one. Generally speaking, should the Jets start on day one by designing the playbook around Darnold's strengths and his familiarity with offensive concepts from college? Or should they wait until he's named the starter before tweaking the offense to Darnold specifically? Well, you wait till he's the starter, because one thing to remember is that the entire playbook is not at the team's disposal each week. It's only a small fraction of plays, and that's what game planning is. Game planning is you pick a handful of plays, and it depends on the team how many it is, but you're only picking a handful of plays that you're going to run that week, and that's essentially what game planning is. You're looking at the other team's strengths and weaknesses. You're figuring out which plays will work against them. So in a playbook that could have, I've heard of playbooks in the NFL that have 1,000 plays. You're picking 20, 30, 40 that you're going to run each week. So I'm sure there are concepts in the Jets playbook that Darnold is familiar with, and you just don't pick them until he's in the lineup. Then once he takes over as the starter, you can run those plays that he's comfortable with. So I think it's more game planning around the starting quarterback than it is really altering the playbook, because the playbook's going to have pretty much anything you'd want in there. So I think that's something you wait on. You don't need to do it right away. If McCown's the starter, you put in plays each week that McCown's comfortable running, and McCown should be pretty comfortable running everything, because he's been in the league so long, he's probably run every play there is to run. So I don't think that's really an issue. Bridgewater's the starter. You run the plays that Bridgewater's comfortable running. So I don't think we're talking about major tweaks. I think we're talking about just what do you run each week, and the Jets will have plenty for each quarterback. I think they'll have plenty of plays each quarterback's comfortable running. Once Darnold's in, then yeah, you incorporate some of those college concepts, and I do believe in that. I think what you do is you have a foundation. You have some plays Darnold's comfortable running. Then you maybe add one or two, and then once he's comfortable running those one or two extra plays, you add in another play, you very slowly build him up. You just create concepts he gets comfortable with, and then you keep adding to it. So I think that that's the approach for Darnold. Next question. This is a good one. If Teddy ends up being the starter and leads the Jets to a 4-2 record to start the season off, would you still want to trade him for a first or second round pick, or do you stick with him as the starter and hoping he continues his level of play? This might be controversial. If somebody offered me a first round pick for Teddy Bridgewater, even if the Jets are 4-2, I'm probably taking it, because Sam Darnold is the future of this team. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think that 2018 is a year where you would gladly take a playoff run, but you're not expecting a playoff run, and I'm not even sure it's necessary to go to the playoffs for this year to be viewed as a success in certain respects. So I think that, I would. I think you have to take a longer-term view, and it probably would be unpopular with this team, having missed the playoffs every year since 2010, to potentially derail a promising season. In this hypothetical scenario, the Jets are 4-2, but I think that you I think I would, because longer term, that pick is going to be more valuable to this franchise than Teddy Bridgewater is. I think, you know, Teddy is a guy who has a very limited shelf life on this team now because of the way things played out. I think we all know Darnold. Look, the Jets gave up four draft picks to get Darnold. So that's what they think of him, and the Jets apparently really love him. So I think it's tough to envision the scenario where that wouldn't – it's tough to envision a scenario where a few more wins this season would be worth a first-round pick going forward, especially when you don't have a second-round pick this year. So I think you add a second first-round pick this year. That goes along – I mean, that essentially erases that the 2019 implications of that, of the trade the Jets made for Darnold. So I think you got to do it, and you put Darnold into the lineup and you hope for the best. And if not, if things don't work well at that point, then you just view it as a learning experience for him. I think that's what you do. And our last question: with the drafting of Herndon at tight end, it looks like the Jets will likely go into the season with four tight ends on the roster. You'll have Tomlinson as a blocking tight end, Herndon as a developmental player, Leggett as a potential breakout contributor, and one of Walford, Sterling, and Hodges as a receiving threat. Do you agree with this assessment, and which position group do you think will most likely be affected if the Jets carry an extra tight end? I think it's plausible. I'm not totally sure I think that this is going to happen, though, because usually if you're keeping an extra player, it's at a position of strength, and I don't think tight end is really a position of strength for the Jets right now. So I'm not totally sold on the idea that this is going to happen. I think what position group would be most affected? I think it depends on how things play out in training camp. I'm not sure the Jets are necessarily going to go in and say we're keeping X number of players at wide receiver, X number of players on the offensive line. I think there is some flexibility built in, depending on how you want to build your roster, depending on the talent available to you. And that's one of the reasons I'm not sure I necessarily see the tight end position getting an extra player, because, again, it's not really a position of strength for this team. So would I be shocked to see Leggett go? Well, it depends on the preseason he has. But I think, a guy who was a relatively later round pick last year, I'm not sure he's necessarily a lock to make the roster. I think Tomlinson will be there as a blocking tight end, and Herndon, you're not going to cut a fourth round pick, so Herndon will be there. But there might only be one more spot outside of those two. We'll just have to wait and see. And I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I don't think it would be the most shocking thing, because I think there's a plausible scenario that you laid out where they could keep a fourth tight end, but I'm not sure it's necessarily going to be the case. I think we'll just have to wait and see there. And if it does, then I'm not sure there's necessarily one position the Jets will target. I think they may just want to keep the best 53 guys. So whoever makes it, whoever doesn't. Thanks for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it on iTunes or Spotify, and please do give it a good review in iTunes. It certainly helps us out. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back next week to talk more about the Jets.